second time in succession in the Premier League. It's been a real tough day, this one, for Liverpool. We actually started okay in the first half. McAllister had two great chances in quick succession in the first half. Salah sets up Kerkez on his right foot, missed a golden chance, touched down, we thought he should have buried that one. And then Forrest in front, past the half an hour, from the corner kick. Murillo allowed too much time and space to turn and bury it into the corner. Forrest scored again 2 minutes later through Igor Jesus, but a controversial VAR denied them. In the second half, we started badly. We conceded right at the start of the second half, caught out, and the right back, Nicola Savona, afforded all the space in the penalty area to score. Isak missed a chance, Ekitike came on, and Gibbs White added a third. Liverpool 0, Nottingham Forest 3.
That was our commentator, Steve Hunter, summarising a really disappointing day at Anfield. You are listening to The Reaction. Coming up in this episode, we'll get the thoughts of boss Arne Slot. First, though, to our pundits, former LFC players Jason McAteer and Niamh Fahey, who join myself, Becky Davis, pitchside after the game. It's a warm welcome to you two on what is a really, really difficult night and a tough one to kind of digest, really, that, Jason. A game that it's hard to even think about now because it feels a long time ago, but started in quite positive fashion. But the scoreline is a really, really tough one.
It's quite damning scoreline, isn't it? 3-0 at home, we're certainly not used to that, are we? Seeing that scoreline at Anfield on the scoreboard. But yeah, disappointing. But you're right, you know, the first half an hour, they started the game really well. There was a good energy, good pace about it. Crowd were up for it. But I said, didn't I, in the build-up, you know, I'd like to have seen us take an opportunity early on, settle everyone down, go 1-0 up, and then build from there. The longer it goes 0-0, the more comfortable they get. Set pieces come into play. They might nick an opportunity. And you just felt on that half an hour mark, are we going to concede because we haven't scored? We've seen it so many times in football. Then we concede. And then the worrying thing for me, Becky, is, listen, last season we might have conceded first. I always felt there was an uplift in the players. There was a belief that we'd go and get the equaliser and go on and win the game. There was that confidence. There was that swagger about us. What I'm seeing at the minute is we go 1-0 down and it's like the life is drawn out of us. And it's like everyone starts looking at each other. There's a panic. The game plan goes out the window. Passing, tackling, it all goes awry and it becomes a very, very difficult afternoon. We get very fortunate with a goal that was chalked off. I still cannot see why that goal was chalked off, a handball. I felt for Forrest at the time, but it was a message to Liverpool that, listen, this
a
is
a warning, this, yeah.
Yeah, it's a big warning. And then the worst thing you can do is come out second half, can't you, and concede again when you're 1-0 down and it becomes a real uphill battle. Then the changes come, the manager makes the changes, and it's kind of like the game plan goes out the window. Players are looking at each other. Where are you playing? What am I doing? And it just all becomes a mess. And then before you know it, it's 3-0. Crowd have gone. Players don't know what they're doing. And now we're picking the bones out of it, saying, you know, where's it gone wrong? It's just been difficult.
Yeah. I mean, it's not really much you can say to dress it up. It is a damning defeat. I think you're right. We started really positively. And then if you don't capitalise on it, that's kind of been the story, I think, so far, and it's a continuing trend. And then, yeah, not really much threat the other end, and then it's one opportunity and it's goal, bang, and like you said, the confidence just drained out of us. And so hard in football, like, these moment when things are going against you, how crucial that first goal can be.
I mean, when you look as well at the stats in terms of conceding first this season, it's something that's happened to Liverpool far too many times. When you look, that was the 8th Premier League goal conceded in the first half. By contrast, they've scored 6 goals in the first half of Premier League games this season. So, as Niamh said, it's a massive thing. You give yourself a mountain to climb, don't you?
You can draw what you want from data. You can, you know, and stats. You know, you can make them what you want them to be at times, can't you? Do you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, when you're looking at stats and data, you can find common themes, like you've just said. And at the end of the day, you know, we're conceding first in far too many games. It tells you a story, you know. And then it's down to the management team to identify that, first of all, but then address it and find out why. You know, whether that's an inquest with the players, whether that's doing something differently. But like I said before, the difficulty for me when I'm watching the players is there's fundamentals in football, and it's like honesty and desire and winning your tackles and running hard, rolling your sleeves up, and you can't have it all your own way in a football match. You just can't. No matter who you are, the opposition will add a threat at some point, and you've got to be able to be prepared for that. And that is sometimes, you know, getting your body in the way, throwing everything on the line, last minute tackles, winning the second balls, winning the bits. You know, they're all the things that footballers, you know, we don't really like doing, but it's a massive part of the game, isn't it?
100%.
And you've got to do it. You've got to do it. You cannot have a swagger about being Liverpool and walk around the pitch thinking, oh, we'll get an equaliser. Oh, it'll come. Sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
And you end up getting beat 3-0.
Let's talk about the psychology around situations like this, because confidence can be so fragile, can't it? And I suppose it's one of those things where you can work on things in training, you can try out different techniques, and there's no substitute for kind of going on a run, building that momentum. And that must be one of the hardest things as a manager to try and get to grips with.
Yeah, and as a manager as well, you can only do so much. It's the onus is on the players when you cross the white line to just get it done, whether that's by will or by skill. You have to just find a way to get it done, and especially when things are going against you. You have to revert back to basics, and then it's only by doing it, by fundamentally getting out there and actually going winning your battles, winning your duels, making things difficult, and you get to earn your right to play in a game. It's not a given that you get to come here and you just play the Liverpool way. I think we need to kind of go back to the basics and get the fundamentals right and earn our right, because right now I don't think, you know, there's a lot of fear around playing us at the minute, and then you can tell the way the results have gone, that confidence isn't there. So it's about going back to the basics and building off the building blocks to get your way back into some sort of form.
Neve's 100% right. Basics and fundamentals don't change in sport. Culture changes in sport, and it's how you deal with the basics and fundamentals. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, in my day, there'd be cups of tea getting thrown in that dressing room. In fact, there could be players fighting and squaring up to each other and industrial language being thrown at everyone. I understand culture changes. I understand people change. I understand how we communicate has to change in certain aspects. But fundamentals and basics in sport, you still have to take ownership of your performance. But you still have to take the criticism. And OK, it won't be cups of tea getting thrown, but you'd have to stand up, and like when a manager's talking to you, or when, you know, when I go back to Jordan Henderson in that dressing room, we didn't win the league because we were perfect every performance. We won the league because when we weren't perfect, Jordan Henderson, James Milner, players like that were pointing fingers and grabbing players and screaming at players and telling them that this isn't good enough, and identifying the problems on the pitch and on the dressing room. Fundamentals don't change, do they? And basics don't change, and you have to be able to take the criticism as players, don't they? I mean, you're in amongst it. Has it changed a lot? Do you see it?
No, I just obviously retired in May, and I think even up till then, throughout my career, it's earning the right, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's actually just doing the basics well. You can complicate it all you want, but I think if you don't come with the basics, you don't stand a chance, and it's the same. It hasn't changed, and I don't think those fundamentals will change.
The question I was asking is, do players, the modern players, do they find criticism difficult?
For sure.
Yeah.
I think within the women's game, I don't know exactly what it's like in the men's game, but within the women's game, there's definitely a mentality switch of the younger generation in terms of, it's about the communication and how you deliver it. So there is that change in terms of how you deliver a message.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not the old school hairdryer treatment.
Yeah.
But there is probably a difference in terms of how you speak to people and how you motivate them is a big thing.
And is it difficult when there's a frustration within you when you get beat?
For sure. I mean, what professional footballer wants to beat? Like, they're going to be hurting. We're all hurting as fans watching them. It's not easy at the moment, but I'm sure they're hurting twice as much as we are. Like, they're proud. They're Premier League title winners. There's that onus of responsibility of playing for Liverpool. So no one's going to be hurting as much as that group of players and staff.
Yeah, and there's a lot of leaders in that dressing room as well. You know, it's a dressing room full of captains of their country, Jason and
Becky. You're right, but leadership is, there's so many different types of leadership, isn't there? There's vocal leadership, there's leadership with performance where you know you look at it, you know, you're doing the hard work, so you can look at someone going, well, if I'm doing the hard work, you can. When I say vocal, there's Jordan Henderson's leadership. I mean, he did both, he was really good. Then you've got the Roy Keane leadership, you know, he produced performances, but like, he was vocal as well in the dressing room, on the pitch. There's so many different ways of leadership. I don't see a vocal leader on the pitch. Listen, Virgil's a leader, he does it a different way. Alisson's a leader, and you know, is there a right way, is there a wrong way? I don't know. Leadership's such a, you know, there's so many variables to leadership. But yeah, but I've got to get it right, and it has got to be what works. Right now, I think they're lacking a vocal leadership on the pitch. I don't see one player who's actually pointing fingers and saying, you don't miss that tackle, you win it next time. You win that tackle next time. You know, you win that second ball. Listen, we're 1-0 down, we've got to roll our sleeves up. Leadership can be about as well. When you're 1-0, when you're 2-0 down, you can hide on a football pitch. You can not want the ball. You can make it easy. I can get the ball and I can give it 2 yards. What's that going to do? You know, sometimes you've got to be like, I'm going to be the one that drives through the middle. I'm going to be the one that commits a player. I'm going to try something that's going to get us back in the game. Or you go, right, do you know what? From a terminology, I'm going to smash someone on the pitch. I'm going to win a tackle and I'm going to really get the crowd up. I'm going to change the dynamics by doing it that way. You've got to think that way. You can't be the ones that go, do you know what? I'll have the ball, but I'm going to lay it off 5 yards. I'm going to get it and I'm going to give you it back. Or I'm going to hide. I'm going to stand here so you can't see me, so you can't pass to me. You can't be that kind of player in these moments. That's big players stand up to this challenge.
Yep.
Liverpool need players who stand up. There was too many players who underperformed today. And Neve's right. They'll be hurting in that dressing room. They'll be absolutely hurting. No player goes out to play bad or lose.
Of course.
You can look yourself in the mirror and go, I should have done better.
Yeah, we are hoping to get some reaction from inside the Liverpool dressing room. Before we get that, though, I've just been reading over while you've been speaking, an interview with Virgil van Dijk, who, of course, is the captain and also has led the club to so much success in recent seasons. And he's, to surmise the interview, he basically says there were nerves after conceding. They were trying to go for the equaliser at the same time. Everyone should be disappointed. Everyone has to stand up and take responsibility. Losing at home to Forest, in his eyes, is very bad. Felt the goals were very easy. Bouncing back overnight is also not easy. But he says it's not a one-man show. It's down to all of them. He's not a quitter, and none of them should be.
No. There's no one at this football club's a quitter and ever has been. You know, you don't build a dynasty like this by quitting at the first hurdle. Of course you don't. In football, carry so many challenges and so many things change overnight in football, and you know, a week can be a long time, can't it? But what they've got to be careful of now is they need just to calm down, just to take a breath, no one get carried away, and we just work our way back into it. They need to start producing results quick, because for me, the league now has become, winning the Premier League has become a very difficult ask. You're now looking at Champions League. You know, and the whole dynamics change if you don't make Champions League. Financial fair play kicks in because you're not making as much money revenue-wise from the Champions League. Sponsorship deals, I'm sure, are all made around Champions League qualification. Your power to attract players to the football club, again, Champions League plays into it. So you've got to be careful that you're still in the mix at the end of the season. You can't drop out of the Champions League. This club can't be out of the Champions League. So they've got to find a solution. They've got to do it quick.
Yeah, we're back here midweek, of course, to face PSV in the Champions League, Neve. But just in terms of the overall picture for the league, I mean, it is very rare that a side would lose more than 5 Premier League games and still win the title. I think Manchester City, the only side, have done it, and that was once in the last 7 years. So yeah. The big picture, you know, doesn't look too great at the moment. There is a long way to go still. Anything can happen. We've seen that before.
Yeah, the one thing is you never write off Liverpool. We've made the impossible possible, and it's not looking good right now. There's no doubt about that. The stats don't say it looks good. Only Man City have done it in the last 7 years. So it's not great reading, but the main thing is we get in and around the Champions League spots. We focus back on trying to get back into game, winning games again. Literally just keep in touch. Don't lose too much pace. And it is quite a bad defeat today, because you can see that gap, and obviously dropping into the bottom half of the table is never pretty reading. But Virgil said they've got the players there. They all need to step up, every one of them. It's not on one person. There's a dressing room there full of internationals. You have to just take the ownership together. It's not on one person to lead us out of this. And I think, you know, come Christmas, we'll get a better understanding of where we're at.
Yeah, it's not obviously ever on just one person, is it? But that would go with everything today in terms of even some of the defensive aspects of the goal. You know, it starts from the front defender, and it's an entire team effort.
Yeah, there's no one individual that makes you lose 3-0. Listen, there was really a lot of poor performances today. A lot of players need to look at themselves and say, that's just not good enough. I understand nerves, but listen, Neve's played for the club. She knows what the ethos is all about. I've played for the club. You've been around the club for years, Becky. You know what it demands, what the expectation is of this football club. It's like you have to be a winner. Otherwise, you're moved on. It's as simple as that. So, you know, the expectation, the pressure is massive at this football club. But you're here for a reason. You're here because you're a good footballer and because they think you can handle the pressure. So show everyone you can do it. Listen, we've done it over the last 7 years. The players that have been through this club 7 years have been magnificent, what they've given us. You know, we can only thank them for what they've done, their efforts and all that. But we're in a bad time right now and them players have still got to figure it out and take ownership of their own performances collectively. But as individuals, like Neve said, you go out as an individual, you do your best at what you can do and hope that everybody else does. The other 10 players do it, you'll be all right. You be the one that comes in and goes, do you know what? I give 100%, didn't leave anything out there. Don't be the one that comes in going, I could have done better today. Yeah. Because there's 6 or 7 of them who've come in that dressing room today, and you can't do it in the Premier League. You can't be 6 or 7 players down in any game of football in the Premier League, because you get beat. And you'll get beat 3-0 at Anfield. Doesn't matter who you are.
Yeah.
So, listen, now's the time just to take a breath, just everyone calm down and let the manager figure it out. Because that's what he gets paid to do at the end of the day. So let's just give him time. Mm-hmm. Let's all take a breath.
I'm Virgil van Dijk.
I'm Federico Chiesa.
I'm Andy Robertson.
Have a boss Christmas with Liverpool FC Retail.
Shop hundreds of exclusive Liverpool FC gifts for the Reds in your life.
Buy them today.
At your official LFC stores, online at liverpoolfc.com/store, and on the official LFC store app.
Merry Christmas from LFC Retail.
You never walk alone.
We can hear from the boss now. Arne Slot has been speaking to the media in his post-match press conference.
Hi, Arne. How bad a result is that, and what do you feel was the problem today?
Well, how bad, that's difficult to measure, but it was very bad, of course. Playing at home, losing 3-0, no matter which team you face, is, of course, a very, very, very bad result. Unexpected if you look at the first half hour of the game. In my opinion, a good start from us. Haven't seen us creating so much in half an hour, first half hour of a game, maybe throughout the whole season. I'm not sure because I don't remember every single game now, but we were able to create a lot. And the first time they arrived in our box, they scored a goal. And it's a very difficult cocktail to drink or to have if you miss out on your own chances, and almost every time you concede one, the ball goes in.
You've got a lot. You ended the game with two midfielders in defence, so you seem to be moving to Jones and, well, that's at one point you had Jones and Graham back.
Yeah.
It feels like you're having to adapt quite a lot to try and add attackers to keep your shape and players are out of position.
Yeah. Now, we had to start the game with a midfielder and right fullback because both of our fullbacks are injured. And Joe Gomez is a player who can also play there, but hasn't trained the whole week. I don't think he was fully ready to start this game. And yeah, when you're 2-0 down, it's not really, in my opinion, really necessary to bring in a defender. And normally you prefer, at least that's what I always do, you prefer to bring in players that can score a goal. So yeah, after I took Ibu off, indeed we played with two midfielders in our last line. That's true. We also needed goals, and that's why I brought Hugo in, Ikitike for Ibu, to bring a player in that can score a goal. And just before we conceded the 3-0, I went to a 3-3-4, because I didn't feel after my first substitution we were able to create a lot. And I know, we know, as you probably even better than me, but I'm here for 1.5 years now, and if you score a goal in this stadium, something can happen. So you need something. You need a goal, you need something to happen. And then after my first substitution with Hugo, I don't think we created a lot. So I thought with 2-0 down, let's take an extra risk. But that didn't work out really well because 2 seconds later we were 3-0 down.
What did you make of the first goal, standing with Endoy in the offside position, Premier League today wasn't in Alisson's side, but obviously there was a thing that the Etihad gave him.
Yeah. I during the game, I people told me that he was in an onside position. Sorry, so that's why I wasn't bothered at all. Now after the game, people tell me that was he in an offside position? Is that 100% sure or?
The Premier League say the refs goal of goals checked, but it was deemed that he wasn't in the line position of Alisson.
Does that implement that he then was offside, or because that's of course the big issue? Then I have to see it back because I heard immediately that he was onside. I didn't check what the line of vision then was. Now I haven't had time to see it back if he was in the line of vision. Yeah, I've seen us conceding three goals this season against Atletico 2 and against Frankfurt 1 that were more in the line of vision of the goalkeeper than the one we scored at City. But yeah, I think no one wants to hear from me now. Me talking about referee decision, if you lose 3-0 at Forest, then I should first of all look at myself and my team instead of that. But it does show you how a set piece or how a goal can change momentum and can change the game. Because before we conceded the 1-0, I think I was just waiting for us to score a goal, and afterwards we hardly created any chance anymore.
You said then you should look at yourself first. Do you think you can lead the team out of this slump of results? Because it's the same sort of things that are happening each week in terms of set-piece goals, missing chances. And I know the players have to, you know, it's down to players at the end of the day. But
No. It's my responsibility. If we win or lose, it's my responsibility. So. But what I also see is that the team, and by the way, our fans as well, stay till the end, support the team till the end, and the players keep on trying till the end. And what I also see today, and that wasn't at City, but at City, yeah, we were not the only team that struggles in the first half. But in every other game we've played, we've been the dominant team, and we were able to create chances. And like I said, lately it's almost constantly that we miss our chances and the ones go in that we concede, but that will never continue throughout the whole season. But we need to have that moment of energy of scoring a goal. If you are playing well and you go 1-0 up, then the other team feels like we've played here half an hour now and we're 1-0 down and we hardly seen the ball. But the opposite thing happened. They got a big, big, big energy boost from scoring 1-0. So I see a lot of things where in a normal situation the result would have been different, but we are now in a difficult situation, and then you need to do even more to get your results in than when things go in your favour.
Guess what I was saying, do you doubt yourself at all? At the moment, or does what you did last season give you the, and your career as a manager, give you the confidence that there is a way out?
Yeah, of course there's a way out, especially with the quality players we are having. So I think no matter if you win or lose, if you make a lineup and if you make substitutions, and when you look back, you're always thinking about, oh, where can we do better, where can we adjust? But that's something else than doubting yourself. But I want to emphasize one more time on the fact that I'm responsible for the current losses. When you are responsible when you're winning, but you're also responsible when you're losing. And that's why I prefer, although you ask me that question, not to talk about referee decisions or other excuses. I can never come up with enough excuses for us to perform to have the results we have. That is far from good enough, and I'm responsible for that.
Alan, you mentioned that you feel you create enough chances, but do you worry that the players are becoming, I guess, they're not too nervous, too pressurised as well as goal? Because it seems when you, it's the first time in a long time Liverpool haven't scored in consecutive games. Does that become like a compound problem?
I don't think so yet. I don't think so yet, but yeah, it's difficult for me to feel what they feel. But if I look at the way we finish these chances, I don't see a player that's lacking confidence or is hesitating. For example, the one with Maka, I think he hits it perfectly, but defended perfectly as well. So no, I don't think that's an issue. But yeah, it's difficult for me to judge because I'm not there in that moment. The only thing I can see is that we do create, and the finishing is as expected. But the blocks and the saves are also of quality.
I mentioned the attempt to go to 3-3-4. Can you explain the thinking behind that? Because sometimes it seems as though the forwards on, but they'll need to get the ball progressive to them.
Sorry, last?
Then the players struggle to get the ball actually.
No, I don't think we struggled with that. I think we ended up a lot of times on our sides with Cody and with Mo. But we struggled to create a chance of that because they were defending with so many players in and around their box. So then if you've tried for 75 minutes with four defenders, three midfielders and three attackers, although the defenders were midfielders, but that comes from injuries. Then the idea was, but again, I'm responsible for that, to make an offensive substitution, which I did last season as well. Took Ibu off, brought Djoko Jota in, and 1 minute later, away at Forest, I mean, we scored the 1-1. Then it was brave. Now it's probably stupid.
Thank you.
He's always refreshingly honest, isn't he, at open, honest lot. And it probably will be, I think, without doubt, the most difficult moment of his managerial career at the moment, trying to find the answers and a way out of this into better times.
For sure. I mean, champions coming into the defending your title, and, you know, it's not been good, has it? The form has been horrendous, really, in terms of what we expect, especially here at home. So, yeah, there's no doubt about it. It's a very difficult moment for Arne, and is probably his first real big test now at the club as well. So he's looking for the answers. It starts again on Wednesday in the Champions League. It's a quick turnaround. That can be a blessing sometimes to try and put a bad performance behind you. But yeah, it's not good at the moment, but it's a big test for him, and yeah, hopefully he can get us out of it.
Sorry, you look like you wanted to say something. So.
Yeah, you know, when we got to Aston Villa, and it was kind of, for me, it was a must win.
Yeah.
And then you look at the performance. Okay, it was a jittery first 15 minutes. They hit the post and they created a lot of opportunities, and it was like, oh, here we go again. But there were some certain players in that game. I'll name names. Szoboszlai was certainly one of them. Who grabbed the game by the scruff of the neck. Gakpo grabbed the game by the scruff of the neck. Doing all them things I mentioned before, you know, they wanted the ball, they were creating things, they wanted things to happen, they were winning tackles, they were running, they were, running back, getting back, defending, throwing the bodies on the line, making. And then it turned, and then all of a sudden there was a lift in the crowd and the performance lifted. That's the benchmark, you know, that's not a glamorous game at all, you know, Aston Villa at home, but it was a must win, and they played like it was a must win. That's the level of expectation you need from a performance. Real Madrid is Real Madrid. It's like glamour. It's Hollywood. You know, everyone can raise the game for Real Madrid. But then you look at today, and it's kind of like the Aston Villa performance is needed.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't there. And that's the worry for me.
It's difficult, isn't it, when you lose to Szoboszlai, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Out of that midfield.
We did speak about that pretty much, didn't we?
You're taking away that engine and that fight and desire, and I've mentioned before, he's like a Stevie Gerrard-esque type player for us, the way he does grab the game by the scruff of the neck, and I think you do really miss him when he's not in there.
Yeah, he brings so much energy, doesn't he, in that role. He also spoke about the need for more goals. Obviously, it has been drawing blanks back-to-back, first time in a very long time that had happened. Obviously, before Manchester City had been on such a long run of scoring in every game. What did you make of the front line today? A difficult day for Alexander Isak? Showed it a
need
few.
More.
Yeah.
Becca need more, and you know, you can't keep churning the narrative like we're going to give him game time. He's a professional footballer. He needs what he knows what he needs to do. Listen, you can go out onto a pitch and give 45 minutes if that's all you're going to get, because that's the plan. You give everything for 45 minutes and you come off where you know there's nothing in the tank. He was anonymous. He was absolutely anonymous. And I got to bring it up. There was an opportunity to make a really good tackle in the middle of the park. And he backed out of it, and the crowd turned on him. That's the last thing you need when you're in that position. You're not scoring, you're not playing well, and you backed out of a tackle, and the crowd have turned. It's like, you know, we still talk about the Real Madrid game as the Conor Bradley tackle on Mbappe. Mm-hmm. Is it that one you're on about? You know, people remember tackles, people remember moments. That was your opportunity, Alexander. Like, win the ball, win something, you know, just that when I mentioned before, that's where you can change the crowd, make big lift. That's your opportunity, take it. And he didn't. And, you know, that was just one moment. He didn't take his opportunity over the time he was on the pitch as well. He looked a little bit anonymous, but we can't keep churning the narrative out. He's had no pre-season. He's got to produce.
I feel the need to kind of try and defend it in some way, but you are right, I suppose. But there are, I suppose, mitigating circumstances to an extent. He's only just coming back to full fitness. Does he need better service, Niamh? Is that part of the problem?
I think it's maybe a relationships issue, like new team, getting that understanding. That takes time. It's not easy. I think there was good moments where we did get good crosses in, especially from Mo and Cody, and maybe you're hoping for nine to get on the end of it, and he just wasn't in those positions. But look, it's not been easy for all the reasons we've mentioned, but I think maybe that's where you're looking at Hugo maybe in the nine to maybe take a little bit of pressure off while he is still finding his feet.
Just touching on what Niamh said there about his position, right? There was a moment in the second half. There was a bit of build-up play on the right-hand side. I think Salah was involved, and I was watching it about Isak's movements, and yeah, there was a lot of attacking talent on the pitch at the Ekotike had come on, and he was outside the box on the left hand side, and I was just thinking to myself, if Liverpool pull the trigger here and the keeper spills it, he ain't putting the ball in from there. He ain't going to create an opportunity, you know, for himself by following the ball in, by being in a position where he might just get up the bits. You've got to be there to score goals. He's thinking about it too much.
Okay, fingers crossed turns the corner soon, as two fingers crossed the entire squad. Let's just move on very quickly, coming to the end of the show, and look ahead to midweek. It is, of course, PSV, which was already a massive night. Niamh, it feels even more so after today.
Yeah, I mean, we're just not used to it, are we, here? It's unfamiliar. And it's unlike us, but I think it's so important now going into that game. The things Jason's mentioned, the tackles, the energy, the work rate, get this crowd up, give us a lift. Like with Knotts there, they got that first goal and you could just see the players, like the confidence that gave them, the belief, and then they could just sit in their game plan. You're not always chasing them, but you have to, bare minimum for this club is passion, desire and work rate, and we really need to come strong with that in the Champions League.
Let's have a look at how the Champions League table stacks up at the moment, and it looks a touch better than the Premier League table does this evening. At least Liverpool currently sitting in eighth, one of five teams level on 9 points. That is after three wins from four games played so far. PSV 18th, so in the playoff places. 5 points for them so far, Jason. Lost at home, they did, to Union SG last time out. They've beaten Napoli 6-2. Two away games, both drawn 1-1 against Leverkusen and Olympiacos. Your thoughts on how this one's going to go? That's the impossible question,
idea,
isn't it?
Rebecca. You just don't know, do you? Well, I just want to see a performance like Niamh just touched on there. It doesn't matter about the opposition. Just doesn't matter. It's just, I want to look at a Liverpool performance that I can feel, yeah, do you know what? You threw the kitchen sink at it, you give everything.
Do you want to see the highlights from Real Madrid? Will that make you feel a little bit better right now? Because I think we have them standing by. So let's just remind you what happened. It feels like a while ago now, this, doesn't it? But of course, this was a game, Niamh, where I think, firstly, more of the same this week would be perfect, but it was the blueprint, really, wasn't it? When you look at that, you go, this is the standard and this is what we can do when we reach these levels that we know we have within this team.
Yeah, we were excellent, weren't we, in this game, and Courtois made some unbelievable saves, really. It should have been more from us, but we were fluid, we were dynamic, we were aggressive. It was really a really top performance, and yeah, it's a shame because Conor Bradley, obviously, we're missing him right now because he had a top game against Vinicius Jr. as well. So, yeah, if we could get back to this, that would be great. If it's no denying, it was a fantastic win here.
Do you feel better watching that? You very intently.
I feel a little bit annoyed.
It is so annoyed he forgot to pick his mic up. I mean, it is frustrating though, isn't it? Because you know what is within this side on their day. Just unfortunately, we haven't seen that day too often this season.
Well, it was off the back of the Villa game, wasn't it? And where everyone kind of
felt
a sigh of relief, and it was like, yes, that's the performance we want to see. Then Madrid come to town, and we've had so much history over the last forever with Madrid, certainly in recent years as well. and then they go and put a performance in like they did. And, you know, I keep saying it, you know, as footballers, everyone says, well, you should be up for every game. But there are certain games that add a little bit more spice, and the adrenaline goes through you a little bit quicker and a little bit more, and you're like a little bit more alive and stuff. And Madrid is certainly one of them. And the performances kind of mirrored that, really. Everyone was at it. There was an energy, the crowd. I mean, listen, Champions League nights here are great anyway, aren't they? But the crowd were up for it. The superstars were here, weren't they? It was under the light. It just played out. It was the perfect moment for them, wasn't it? Sadly, when we went to City, we kind of just ran out of gas, didn't we? It was just a little bit too much. And then today, it's kind of like we've taken a massive step backwards.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, you know, we've got to start again.
The power of the crowd is going to be huge midweek, isn't it, Niamh?
Yeah, it's everything, isn't it? Mm. Like, it's the 12th man. And, today was flat, but listen, we need everyone, obviously, getting behind the
team. But the players have to give us that, don't they?
They do. Like I said, one tackle can lift the roof off this place. Or, you know, it's that kind of a place where the grit, determination, everyone loves that, a fighting spirit. And that's what we thrive off as Liverpool fans as well. So, yeah, we will come. Obviously, the fans will come. But, yeah, you have to give them a little bit as well to get behind.
That is all for this episode of The Reaction. We will be back again on Wednesday night here at Anfield with more analysis and interviews after Liverpool face PSV Eindhoven in the Champions League. Until then, if you haven't already, please give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop.